All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it, it's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore with us at Jay Moore 44, co-host Big Red Wrap-Up. Jay Bird, how was the weekend? Thanks for a few minutes.
It was good. The events of Friday and hitting my hometown up in Elkhorn, that was obviously a little sobering. Prayers and quick recovery for all those families affected in Elkhorn and Bennington and even parts around Lincoln. I hope everyone gets up on their feet and back on, a speedy recovery. But other than that, the weather was great for a spring game. I was able to even sneak out in the mornings and hit a few golf balls. So overall, other than Friday's events, it was a really good weekend to see some friends and family.
And as you kind of do look back on Friday, and I don't want to spend too much time in there, it's been a bit of a blessing over the weekend. Like, we're learning on Saturday, no deaths. Everyone that had been injured released from the hospital by Saturday night. Like, for what a tragic event it was, and it still remains, there are some blessings in there in that people are going to be rebuilding, but nobody is going to be going to any funerals here in the near future based on that storm, which is just an ultimate blessing, and based on some of the destruction that you see, kind of mind-boggling that Nebraskans were able to avoid the worst of it, the worst of it being obviously loss of life.
Yeah, it's perspective is always a really good thing in life, and you nailed it on the head. Obviously, people lost homes, lost everything, but no lives were lost. So that is one good thing that did come out of it, and I know us as Nebraskans, where everyone was quick to help. I was up in Omaha. I was in Elkhorn actually yesterday, not near where the damage was, but just talking with people. And it sounds like they're turning away volunteers. So a lot of people up there trying to do their part to help out, which not surprised at all. Just we take care of our own. So as bad of a situation it was, it kind of brings out the best in people too, in scenarios like this. So that's always good to see.
Real quick update with a way to help out. Herdad Sports Bar and Grill, the La Vista location, is holding disaster relief today and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So what we're doing there is collecting hygiene items, clothing, non-perishable foods to be donated to the Heartland Hope and Project Intentional for distribution. And those in need can also donate $10 to the American Red Cross by texting in capitals Red Cross to 90999. If you want to help out or have some clothing or non-perishables, you want to drop by the Herdad Sports Bar and Grill at La Vista. Jay, we're thinking of you and in your community, and thanks for sharing just a little bit of your past few days with these tornadoes. With Saturday, it brought a smile to a lot of Nebraska fans. The spring game, 60,000, big recruiting weekend, and one of the biggest recruits to get on campus showed up and looked pretty poised in Dylan Raiola. Let's start with the obvious. And Jay, you had some fam with you, and you had the all-22 view out of that north end zone spot. What'd you like about the quarterback play, not only Dylan, but what you saw from the offense?
Yeah, I think just in general, overall, it's kind of what you want from a spring game. They got on the field, they got their business taken care of, really efficient, not too sloppy. You had a couple injuries. There's a couple turnovers, some interceptions. That's going to happen when you're playing multiple people, different quarterbacks with different receivers, different offensive linemen. You name it. It's just mistakes are going to happen, and that they're supposed to happen. It's a practice. But I had a great view. It was in that North Stadium. Probably, 15, 20 rows up from the field, and just a excellent view of just how everything unfolds. What you're seeing from a coverage perspective, what you're seeing from a D-line perspective, route tree concepts, all this stuff. And I don't think I ever get too high. I don't ever get too low when I chat with you guys, but overall the quarterback play was good. I thought Dylan was good. I thought he made some, the biggest thing I take away from, from Dylan is I think everybody, all quarterbacks, arm strength is not a question in all three of them. But what I take away from Dylan was the ability to kind of throw those off-speed pitches, you know, have some control over that. We haven't seen that out of a quarterback play in recent years. I think a lot of quarterbacks have always had strong arms, so they can throw a good out route. They can kind of squeeze it in there. They can throw a deep ball. But, hey, can you put some touch on it, drop it in the bucket on a tight end run to seven route or, you know, maybe a receiver kind of sitting down in the zone in the middle of the field, but you got to get it over an outreaching hand of a linebacker. You know, that's not a fastball. That's you still got to put some air on and some touch. So I think that's what I take from watching him Saturday was his ability is to kind of throw and have some touch, right? And but have the ability also to throw, have a fastball and to squeeze in some tight areas. But just seemed poised. He didn't try to force anything. Kind of gave what the defense gave him, threw the ball away. You know, he took off running a few times. I mean, it's a glorified scrimmage. It's a practice. So I'm glad it went that way. I'm glad it wasn't like, you know, he did throw that nice ball to Lloyd on that deep ball. That was a great pass, great play, great execution. But, you know, if it had just been deep shot after deep shot after deep shot and go routes here and, you know, all go specials and he threw for 500 yards, I think, you know, it doesn't do him any good. It doesn't do the fan base any good because all of a sudden they think, you know, this is the second coming of Joe Burrow, whoever it is, you know, right? He's the Heisman Trophy, all this stuff, the hype train. And it's already kind of gotten off the rails a little bit after Saturday. But I think it's just it was just a nice intro to what he's able to do. But also what I take away too is, hey, Danny Kalen is a hell of a player. He is really good. He's not quite to where doesn't have the comfortability within the offense that I see. Things were just a little more efficient when Dylan was in there. And again, granted, he was playing with older guys, mm-hmm. guys who have played more, so that's going to happen. But I thought Heinrich looked much improved throwing the football as well. So I think we have some options, right? And even when you only have three quarterbacks, and I know there's a fourth, but realistically, you have three scholarship quarterbacks on your roster right now, and I think Dylan's your 1A. I think Heinrich's your B guy. Then I think Kalen's probably your third string guy, just of what I saw on Saturday and how I, you know, with spring ball and how it kind of everything, you know, how the cookie crumbled. But like I said, I'm not, I saw some good things. I saw some bad things. I'll reserve some more judgment, I guess, when they play UTEP here in a few months.
Yeah, Jay, you kind of hit it. Saturday after the spring game into Sunday. That's for the overreaction, even into Monday morning. And then as we get into Monday afternoon, this afternoon drive time slot into the rest of the week, like, it's about bringing it back down to earth and being a little bit more realistic. And you said something that really stood out to me over the weekend. Dylan Raiola took what the defense was giving him. Like, he had command over the quarterback position, which was really, really impressive to me for a guy that should be going to prom next week. Like, I'm not sure when his actual high school prom was, but you get what I'm saying. And I think the command over the quarterback position was impressive. The fact that he never really put the ball into danger, as you said, taking what the defense was giving and making the easy throws. My question to you, being a guy that had that all 22 type view from the end zone, how much do you think the defense was giving him? I guess how much was Tony White holding back in a game like this?
I mean, it was pretty basic. They rarely blitzed. It was three-man pressures, four-man pressures, and sometimes they, you know, bring some guys in the A-gap area. I mean, it wasn't exotic whatsoever. I can think of all the spring games I've been through. I mean, it was base stuff. And maybe you ran a few different coverages, maybe you ran a basic blitz just to mix it up, keep people honest. And a lot of times it was just to, you know, throw a little wrench in the OC's game plan a little bit. Maybe say you're not going to blitz, but you do it just to needle him a little bit. But other than that, you always want to keep it basic. You want to get your guys who you know are going to play on Saturday some good quality reps, and a lot of those guys didn't even play on Saturday, but you want to get guys reps that are going to get them all on in the fall. But you want to see what your guys behind them can do. And the most important thing is you got to be able to understand and play well and play fast within your base calls. And that might be three, four calls. But you got to be able to execute those at a high level in front of a crowd with some noise. I know, trust me, it's nowhere near like it will be when they play UTEP in the fall. But you got to see what they can do with in some pretty calm, you know, some normal situations. So nothing was definitely exotic. No, there was nothing crazy, but he went out there and operated and did what he needed to do. He made the right throws. He had the one bad throw. They got picked at, tipped and intercepted. And he said he put in a bad spot. It's going to happen. It's kind of just is what it is. There's, like I said, it was some good. He was efficient. He did exactly what he needed to do. He operated well and took what the defense gave him. And the defense gave him, they didn't give him a lot. So, but that, offensively as well, they didn't have to do it. It was basic. Rule said it was going to be very, very basic, plain stuff. And that's exactly what we got. And I'm okay with that. That's what spring game should be, is just go out there, get some good, high quality reps. Don't get people injured. Take care of the football and then get rested up. Get ready for summer conditioning.
Jay, in your opinion, do you think there's any benefit to the guys in the team knowing who the starter is going into summer and going into fall if they don't already know?
Not necessarily. I don't think there needs to be a major announcement now. Guys are going to get plenty of reps. You know, they're going to have all sorts of 7-on-7 sessions and throwing sessions in the summer, before workouts, after workouts. Then once you get in the fall camp towards end of July, early August, there's going to be tons of reps that are going to be getting there. And everyone's going to get plenty of time with Dylan, plenty of time with Heinrich, plenty of time with Danny Kalen. But as game time gets closer, that picture's going to become more and more clear. But there is some chemistry that needs to get developed. But overall, I think if everyone operates on the same page and knows where they need to be within a three-step, a five-step, everyone's on the same page of knowing where to cut in, cut out, stop in references to certain coverages. The quarterback, you know, it shouldn't really matter who the quarterback is at that time. It's just whether who can handle the pressure in games, right? Who has a calm mind as a quarterback in those situations to remember the practices, to try to calm their mind, to take them to inside the Hawk Center on a Tuesday or outside at the Memorial Stadium on a Wednesday night practice, is to try to recreate that scenario and not get too overwhelmed. I think that's probably the biggest issue there, more than chemistry, in my opinion.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, what do you think of the weapons around the quarterback room? The run game looked good between the tackles, but you've got Lloyd that's going into his second season. You've got a healthy Fedoni. Ja'Cory Barney really flashed. Jamal Banks seems to be your third down possession guy or red zone option. And then you got Bonner as a matchup issue, as a flex guy. I mean, there seems to be a whole lot of choices for whoever's playing quarterback.
Yeah, and some of the guys are still hurt. You know, we don't have Malachi didn't play, and we saw a little bit of Nair, you know, here and there. But I think Barney was kind of we've heard flashes and heard things about him, and he showed up, maybe the kickoff return. I think he had the one catch in the south end zone there in the corner from Harburg. So he showed up and made some nice plays. He's going to play next year. Weapons are there are some nice ones, and I know we're going to utilize them. Utilize everyone. I think Fedoni could have a crazy good year. You want to talk about just giving what the defense is giving you and just being efficient in simple things. I mean, he can make a killing on Saturdays next fall. Just simple stuff, and then they give you something. Go do it. Go make a big play. But the weapons, and again, we had okay weapons going into the season last year, but everyone got hurt. So we're developing depth. With Fedoni and then Borkature and Bonner, you could put him in that same area, maybe as a fullback too, potentially, but just a Swiss Army knife in general. Then the wide receiver room is strong. It's very, very strong right now. It's going to get stronger when they get Malachi back and healthy. competition is awesome. Everybody's gonna have to be on point, just with how many good bodies that there are in that room. Offensive line wise, you're gonna get better protection from that crew. The run game looked solid. Dowdell had a nice run, showed some burst, some flash. You know, you don't see Ramir, you don't get Gabe Irvin. So, you know, overall, if everyone stays healthy and doesn't, you know, jump ship into the portal, the weapons that Nebraska's going to have hidden in the fall are, I'd have to think back to probably, you know, the Amir days, mm-hmm. you know, with a Kenny Bell and an Amir and a Seathan Carter and a
you had Alonzo Moore and Riley and
maybe a
DPE,
a Quincy Enunwa type of situation, you know. So it's good. It's really, really good. We just haven't had depth like this in weapons around young quarterbacks in some time.
Jay, what did you think of Matt Rhule's plan this spring? In the era of the portal, and we'll know if there's any folks that wander into the portal for Nebraska, but for the most part, guys have been just working. Now that spring's over, you got a couple of days left. But his plan was to let the older guys kind of coach up the younger guys, but you had a whole bunch of young guys get reps, improve their game, see some progress. And if you're active in doing versus watching and sulking, that's going to help make an impression about your future, where you're at versus looking around. I thought it was intentional in a good way for Rhule to keep getting those young guys engaged and get them a bunch of reps. And you saw it pay off last year with all sorts of options personnel-wise with the number of young guys that got in last season. Do you think it could pay off here with limited attrition?
I think so. I was able to get to one practice about 2 weeks ago on a Thursday, and no one's standing around. Everyone's doing something. We've always talked about how TO's practices were, even with Coach Solich, the stations, and everyone's getting reps, and that's pretty close. I think that's with the evolution of the spring league, having the three different units. You had three different situations going at once. No one standing around. You had, even when you break it down to O-line versus D-line, multiple groups going. No one standing around, or rarely. You might be off for a couple plays and you're back up again. Very, very efficient. You know, everyone's working. You might have some competition time where it's one on, you know, 1-0 versus 1-D, and it might be for five plays. But then, boom, everyone's splitting back up again, and everyone's getting reps. It made it tough to watch practice because there's so much going on. But that's what you want, and that's what that's how you develop young talent, and that's how you keep young players from getting complacent and sulking and feeling sorry for themselves. So I think you'll continue to see that, and everyone is. I tell you what, you can't be mentally weak on this football team. You'll have your position coaches. You'll have the head man calling you out right in front of everybody. All the strength staff is on you. If you're not practicing and you need to be working out, you're on the assault bikes, you're doing something, and they're on you. So you don't have time to feel sorry for yourself. You don't have time to think about plan B or that what if the grass is greener somewhere else. They demand a lot of you, which they should, and they need to be, because to win, we haven't sniffed seven wins in a long time. And so it's good. It was good to see, and it's going to continue to be like that. And they're going to work until they get it right. And once they get it right, they're probably going to find something else that needs to get worked on. They're continuing to work. So everything that's going is I love to see, and I think we're finally going to start seeing some results here rather quickly.
Jay, last thought here, probably before we get you out running up against it. Your biggest concern coming out of the spring game is what?
It's weird. I mean, I saw some good things, but it's still. I don't know if it's a concern. You're putting me on the spot here. If I had to find one thing, it's still going to be the quarterback play. you still have young players, and you have a guy that played quarterback last year that wasn't the starter. So I think that's still a concern. I think they're better. I think they're better in that room. I think Heinrich got better. I think Dylan Raiola makes that room better. I think Danny Kalen makes that room better. But it's still a concern because they're young. The rule says there's a 66% chance that you're playing a true freshman quarterback in the fall. So that's a concern. Just because as much as you want to make practice the way it is and in a spring game in front of 60,000 people, when it's finally someone else and there's 90,000 people in there that matters, you really just don't know what you got until it really matters. It's like a guy that he can do one thing on the driving range. When he gets to the first tee and it matters, it's a different scenario. So we really don't know until we get to that scenario. And that's the one thing that Heinrich has above everybody's. You know, he handles in-game situations. So I think the quarterback room is still a concern for me until we know exactly how these young guys are going to perform when it matters.
How do you handle the moment? Great point. And time will tell as we can start the countdown to UTEP in 2024. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, co-host Big Red Wrap-Up. Find him on Twitter at JMoore44. Jay, good to spend some time. We'll holler next week. Thank you.
Sounds good, boys. Thank you.
Good stuff from Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Good perspective on his part. Jim, longtime listener, partner, thanks for tuning in into the stream. And Jim's like, it's been a pleasure. I can't wait to reel games. 8-4 this year. Jim's saying, give me 8. And a lot of Nebraska fans excited after Saturday. We'll wind down a Monday edition of Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager.